You're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Lori Walsh. Summit Carbon Solutions is looking to use, in part, eminent domain to build a carbon capture pipeline through the state. The company says they have easement agreements with more than half of the landowners on the pipeline's route, but they have also filed more than 80 condemnation lawsuits against landowners who have declined their agreements. We'll talk with some of those impacted landowners and commissioners from counties on the pipeline's route today and tomorrow. SDPB's Evan Walton will bring you more on this story. Suzanne Smith is a county commissioner at Spink County. She's with me on the phone. Commissioner Smith, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Ed Fishbach is a landowner from Spink County, and Craig Schoeneman is a landowner from Brown County. And they're joining me from SDPB's Tom and Danielle Ammons Foundation Studio at Northern State University in Aberdeen. Ed, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Craig, welcome as well.
Thank you, Lori.
I'd like to start with the landowners and, in general, what kind of company you're working with here, what your communications have been. We know they have said publicly at Downtown Rotary, for example, that conversations are always open. Call them. We want to talk with you. We want to work with you. More than half the landowners have come to satisfactory agreements. Tell me your personal experience, Ed, and then we'll ask Craig the same question.
Well, there, that statement that you just said that they repeat often, it's pretty hollow based on their actions. I mean, I judge somebody on their actions, and they have maintained from the beginning publicly, and Suzanne will vouch for this over and over again at our county commission meetings, that eminent domain would not be a issue for them because they would get 100% voluntary compliance, which they can't get. We've maintained all along they intended to use eminent domain, and now they've proven it. And what's so egregious about that is that they're enforcing eminent domain and they're doing invasive surveys on landowner property right now when they don't even have a permitted project. Unless they know something we don't know, I would think that you'd have to wait at least until you have a permitted project, but they're going ahead right now and confiscating landowners' property.
Hmm. Craig, your personal experience with them so far, just in general, the tone of the communications and how that's going, and then we'll ask a little bit about what this will do to your operations, to your land. But first, how has it been to work with them?
Thank you, Lori. And our communication, you know, started way back in August of 2021, and we had an open communication up until, you know, we weren't in agreement on the surveying process, and I wasn't going to allow them to survey without compensation, and they didn't agree to that. They and then we went, you know, we had an open communication, I'd say, till about a year ago, and then the communication ceased. I have reached out to them, and since then they've filed condemnation papers on our family for our land, and that's where we're at now.
All right. So condemnation, for people, let's explain that a little bit. That's just where they can say, as I understand it, that they can take this part of your land. They have to give you what is fair value for the highest and best use of the land. So how does condemnation work in real life, though? That's the Wikipedia definition. Tell me how it works, Craig.
Thank you, Lori. My understanding of condemnation is the first hearing will be is if they can use the condemnation process, mm-hmm. they'll go before the court. Then once that's determined, then they go through the eminent domain process where they actually go in there and take the land, and which is goes before a jury trial of your peers. And that determines the highest and best use or the value at that point. So it's a long, drawn-out process, not anything that we're looking forward to. But at this point, we don't feel that they can use condemnation, and we're going to challenge that in court. I think that's the real process here that we need to determine is can they come in and, you know, use condemnation.
Based on the fact that this is not a true public project, based on the value that you're seeing, you don't think they can use condemnation based on what, Craig?
Well, right now, the obviously the South Dakota law says they can. So we're going to challenge the South Dakota law. You know, the legislature has deemed that they can come in and use, that it's a public benefit and they're a common carrier, and that that allows them to use this process. The law has never been challenged. The law is the law until it's challenged, and that's where we're at this point is because it's not for the public use, which condemnation should have been in our Constitution is laid out for, is why we're going to challenge that.
Right. And you're arguing it's not for public use because this is a private company?
It's not for public use. The CO2 that they're using is simply going to be stored underground in western North Dakota. There is no public use for this CO2.
Okay. Ed, anything you want to add to what Craig said about, especially I want to pivot into this idea of, you know, where is this going to cut through your land and how would it impact either your family or your operation?
Well, right now, from what my understanding is, which we have a hard time believing if it's actually true, it's been shifted off of my home quarter where it was originally supposed to go through. It's been put about 3/4 of a mile east of me. I still have other land that it's going to be right up against, but they are avoiding me personally now so they don't have to negotiate, but they've moved it on to some of my neighbors. And I have the philosophy that if it's not good enough for me, I certainly don't want to push it on my neighbors either. I would never do that to them. I never asked them to move it. I just don't think it's a good project. I think it should be stopped. And just to follow up on something Craig said, there is a judge in Iowa that has ruled that the law is unconstitutional in Iowa. And they are stopped from doing the surveys and enforcing the eminent domain right now until that's resolved. And we are appealing the rulings here in South Dakota, you know, to the Supreme Court, that a couple of local judges, one in Lake County and one here in Brown County, gave rulings that allowed them to go ahead and do the condemnation. That's under appeal right now.
Yeah. I want to bring Suzanne Smith, County Commissioner of Spink County, into our conversation. She's with us on the phone. Commissioner Smith, what has this company been like to deal with?
Oh, boy. I'd have to say they, you know, like Ed said, you don't really believe what they're going to tell you. And we have someone that comes to our commission meeting every week and gives us reports. We ask for a specific map, and there's a vague map with a line drawn through it. You don't know townships. You don't know sections, nothing. And there was a little altercation yesterday where I told her, you need to sit down, and a little argument going. And that's just what they like. They like to stir the pot and get people fired up, and that's what's going on right now.
What is the role, Suzanne, of the state PUC? To Craig and Ed's point, this is not a permitted project yet. Those hearings, as I understand it, are not until the fall. Have you had contact with public utility commissioners? What do you know about that that's relevant to this story right now?
We know nothing about it. They threw it back to the county stating that we need to do our setbacks, write up our ordinance. We have a moratorium on right now, and Summit is suing us right now. Mm-hmm. PHMSA has not even got their regulations out, PHMSA, which is a federal government.
Okay.
So I'm a little disappointed with the PUC not even speaking out on this, even a little bit.
Craig, I want to get to one more thing, and because our time is short and we may have to have people back and continue this story ongoing. But when we talk about fair market value and any kind of compensation that might happen in the future, as I understand it, and I know what Ed said about your neighbors' sentiment, how long a farm has been in the family, what you paid for the land, what you might owe in debt against the land, none of that is considered. What's one of your greatest fears or greatest concerns about if you are not successful in fighting this off?
Well, the values, again, you're playing your cards in the hands of your peers as far as negotiating. You know, for us, we're a mile south of the Aberdeen ethanol plant. We're a half a mile from subdivisions. 4 miles west of town, the quarter we have out there, my brother and I own. We've got development on the north and the south end of that particular half section, and I think what they need to consider is what's the value, and they're placing the same value as they are 20 miles outside of Aberdeen in their negotiations, and we just felt that they weren't reasonable in that. In looking at it, I mean, some of our land's been in our family 124 years. None of this land that they're affecting has been, but our family's been within a mile of it 124 years. I don't know what's going to happen. It's my, it's our family's responsibility to make sure it's there for future generations and be cognizant of development out there. I don't foresee myself developing it, but I don't want to hamper it from further development for further generations down the road. And so I think some of that is just the negotiations of the value of where we're at. And there is a risk on my part. There's a high risk on our family's part when we go to condemnation or eminent domain.
Yeah. Any final thoughts, Ed Fishbach, that you want to leave listeners with today?
Well, I think the one thing we may have to remember, too, this is a hazardous material pipeline. This isn't like a water pipeline or natural gas or anything like that. This is a highly concentrated gas, liquid, to get it to flow through the pipe. And this is an asphyxiant. And if this pipe leaks, which it did in Satarsha, Mississippi, you could have people being rendered unconscious, even killed, and as well as livestock. We had a first responder from Satarsha testify at the Public Service Commission hearing in North Dakota, and he testified that they had victims they found from that burst, from that line, 3 miles away. So this is not just a normal pipeline either. And this company has never built one of these before. They're an out-of-state company. They are backed by foreign investors, which they refuse to release the list of their investors. And we believe that that should be public information so we know who is behind this and who is financing this. I think we should have every right to know that. And I would wish that our PUC would ask for that before they would grant a permit. But I think that's an important issue that I think the media should be stressing upon this company, is let's see who's behind this thing and where all this money is coming from.
Yeah. As a note to listeners, SDPB's Evan Walton has a story on this tomorrow. We'll air that on our show, and you can find it online. I did talk to Summit Carbon Solutions early in this process to an engineer about all the way this project works in their terms, and that is posted on our website at sdpb.org/news. And also, we did reach out to Summit Carbon Solutions again and did not hear back this time. We'll keep trying and keep that conversation going. Suzanne Smith, County Commissioner of Spink County, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Ed Fishbach from Spink County, Craig Schoeneman from Brown County. Ed and Craig, thank you both for being here. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks, Lori.
Thanks, Lori.